Well, it certainly seems it's decision time for the dairy industry. The bidding war for Warrnambool cheese and butter has captured far more media attention than you'd expect for a company that just 10 weeks ago was valued on the share market at just $250 million. Since then, it's more than doubled in value. With three companies trying to outbid each other, including Canadian dairy giant Saputo, dairy farmers are wondering why there's so much interest when they've been selling their milk for less than it costs to produce. In a moment, we'll hear from Associate Professor Mark Crosby from the Melbourne School of Business with his explanation of why we should welcome foreign investment. But first, more than 250 people met in Warrnambool this week to discuss the future of Australian dairy. Dairy industry analyst John Hauser told Sophie Malcolm where he sees things at the moment.
It is at a very interesting point. We have been declining in production for the last 10 or so years, and there's lots of reasons for that. And we know that the opportunity for growth in the industry exists. New Zealand's demonstrated that capability. The United States is starting to grow, and I'm sure that the Europeans are gearing themselves up once the quotas come off in a couple of years. And yet Australia hasn't seemed to be able to create the momentum. We thought we would, and then last year we had another bad year and it went back down again and so forth. So the industry has got to stop and think and understand, why is that growth? Why have we been going backwards? What will it take for farmers to increase and grow their production? And the presentation tonight was about saying, well, in the context of the global dairy industry, if you want to supply product to China and around the world and so forth, the issues that you've really got to focus on is farm profitability, and the whole of the industry needs to, in a sense, take a deep breath and stop worrying about the processing assets and how much they're worth and all of those sorts of things, and start worrying about the farm assets. And some of the data that I showed there, it's very clear that the farm assets associated with the dairy industry are, you know, 75-80 in the case of Warrnambool, something like 80-85% of the assets in that supply chain are on farm. So the value creation has to be about milk price and what farmers get and how much value they can create from their farms. Because if it isn't, then it doesn't matter how profitable that processor is, the industry won't grow.
Why do you think it's got to this point where Australia is, as you were saying, going backwards?
There's some bad luck in it. In the climate situation, the drought in the north of Victoria took a lot of milk out of the things. I think that what our industry leaders are calling for, Murray Goulburn and Bega are saying there's a need for rationalisation. I'm in agreement that more companies competing for milk supply isn't necessarily a good thing. That it is better if, not that there isn't, I think there should be competition for milk supply, but if the entire focus of management is how do they keep their farmers and stop them from going to the next door factory, rather than how do I maximise value of the milk and external markets and so forth, it's not healthy competition.
So then how do you achieve that profitability? Because it seems like a lot of people in the room tonight are kind of saying, I can't possibly do anything more than what I'm doing.
There has to be two parts to it. In the processing sector, there's definitely room for improvement. The processes have got to find ways to lift our milk price to a point where it's competitive with the United States and Europe. And it's possible. And indeed, some farmers in Australia do achieve milk prices of that level. So they've got some work to do to try and improve the efficiency and productivity of the processing sector. But I think as well, farmers have got to look at their own farming systems and the way they operate and make sure that their system and the cost of delivery of milk is competitive with New Zealand and elsewhere. And it is. There are just as many examples in Australia of farmers who are doing a good job and generating wealth as there are of people who are struggling and underperforming. I think finance is a big issue on farms, and I honestly don't have a solution to that. If you have a high level of debt, it doesn't matter how good you are as a farmer, you'll still struggle. in terms of the small farms and generational change and how do new people come into the industry. That's a real problem. I don't have solutions for it, but definitely we've got to focus on that.
What do you think the future is for the industry?
Some days I'm optimistic and some days I think, we're just going to continue the way we've been going. In the context of how do we bring new people in, the New Zealanders are very good at it. They've developed a very well-established share farming system, and that share farming system is bringing people in and allowing them to get a start by building a cow herd and then leasing and buying land and so forth. So it takes a while, but it's possible, and I think that we could do a lot worse than have a look at the way they introduce new people into the industry. Given that the average capital value on dairy farms is $2.5 to $3 million, it's sort of the only way to go.
Dairy industry analyst John Hauser speaking there to Sophie Malcolm. Whilst it won't be as straightforward as it was to give approval for Canadian company Saputo to proceed with its attempted takeover of Warrnambool Cheese and Butter, Federal Treasurer Joe Hockey is more than likely to approve the sale of GrainCorp to American company Archer Daniels Midland. That's the view of Associate Professor Mark Crosby from the Melbourne School of Business Management, who's previously worked for the Foreign Investment Review Board. The GrainCorp bid has split the federal coalition, with the Nationals dead set against it going into foreign hands. So how does the Foreign Investment Review Board make its decisions? And can the federal treasurer override its recommendations? Professor Mark Crosby.
What they're looking for is changes in the nature of competition in the market. I guess with the case of the majority of foreign investment applications, you've got a foreign company that in many regards looks like an Australian company. So Saputo is a Canadian corporate, does things that an Australian corporate in a similar space might do. But what the Foreign Investment Review Board would be looking at is whether a foreign acquirer changes the nature of competition in the Australian market in the case of a corporate acquisition. They would also be looking at what the acquirer would be looking to do in terms of employment, in terms of changes in pricing and things like that. So for a corporate buyer, you generally think, well, they're going to do what any other Australian corporate buyer does, and that would be the normal assessment of the Foreign Investment Review Board. In the case where there's, let's say, a government-connected firm, which of course is the issue with some of the Chinese companies, it's much more difficult for the Foreign Investment Review Board because then they have to look at what is this company going to try to achieve with this acquisition, and it won't necessarily be about the normal profitability and commercial things. So those assessments are much more difficult, much more controversial, of course. The FIRB has to put themselves in the mind of the acquirer and figure out what they're going to do and whether that's in the national interest or the best interest of Australia.
So I guess it would have been a relatively simple case for Saputo. We kind of expected that the Foreign Investment Review Board would be so busy looking at Archer Daniels Midland attempt to take over at the large grain company GrainCorp, but they very quickly came out in the dairy industry and said that Saputo has permission, so to speak.
Mm. Well, I think that's right. Saputo does look like a little bit of an easier one. They're a commercial operation. There's nothing to fear in terms of their connections or anything. With ADM, they don't have a good reputation, and so that's carrying with
in
them.
In what sense?
They have had issues with price fixing and other issues around corruption that haven't gotten that company a good reputation. So with that case, I think they'll look at those issues. Supposedly the company has cleaned all of that stuff up, but I guess you'd want to look pretty carefully.
It's a pretty big black mark, isn't it?
It is a big black mark, yeah.
Could that come undone just based on that?
Well, certainly if the Foreign Investment Review Board thought that there are ongoing governance issues in Archer Daniels Midland, then they would quite rightly look at that as a big problem. Again, the company has said that all of these issues are being cleaned up. They have a new code of conduct, et cetera, et cetera. But there are certainly some who ask questions about their good citizenship, I guess.
Their integrity. And yet the focus has been far more on the fact that they'll own too much of the grain handling facilities on the eastern seaboard. Is that something the Foreign Investment Review Board has to worry about?
Well, absolutely. So that would be the main thing that they would look at, and normally that would be the focus of their attention. So that is going to affect the nature of competition in Australia. And I guess those who push for that acquisition to proceed argue that all we're doing is moving from one form of monopoly ownership to another, and so it's not going to make much difference. Others argue that we're taking those assets out of Australian hands, and that is not going to be a good thing for farmers and for the Australian economy.
How much influence can a treasurer have? Because when we got the Saputo announcement, Joe Hockey put the statement out and made it quite clear it was his view that we're open for business. Can he have influence on the ADM GrainCorp decision?
Absolutely. So all of the decisions ultimately go to the Treasurer. The Foreign Investment Review Board puts the case and the Treasurer effectively makes a decision. Obviously, in sensitive cases, with consultation with the most senior Treasury officials, but the Treasurer has the right to make or bend or change those decisions.
It sounds like he's got an out. If he wants to acquiesce to the will of the National Party, he's got a few reasons there to actually knock it on the head.
Yeah, he does. I guess I suspect that proposal for GrainCorp will go through. The issue being that there's the competition in the market. It's really a change from one monopolist to another. I would be surprised if it doesn't go through, but there are these question marks about the nature of the acquirer and the competition. So it's quite reasonable for the FIRB to ask probing questions and the Treasurer to make a careful decision about this case.
Associate Professor Mark Crosby from the Melbourne School of Business Management, who's previously worked for the Foreign Investment Review Board.